So just keeping in mind this great series that you guys have in November. Man, you guys can do some good series, man. Every time I look forward to seeing what is the theme. And ultimately, this month we're focusing on going from motion to meaning. Can we just say that? From motion to meaning, to meaning. So I want to keep our theme as we're going on this season of Thanksgiving and gratitude. I want to keep that going. If you could turn to our key scripture today, there is a word from the Lord. The book of Luke, the 10th chapter. We're just going to read verses 30 through 37. So be writing that down. It's Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 30 through 37. And if you're there, you just say, amen. And if you're not, say, hold on now. All right. If we can stand in reverence to the word of God, we stand for the President of the United States. So I know if you're able and willing, if we could just stand in reverence for the word of God. Luke, the 10th chapter. Verse 30, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. And it reads, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, a priest happened to go down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Verse 32, so too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him, or took mercy, or had mercy on him. Verse 34, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35, the next day he took out 2 denarii, which is money, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Verse 36, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? Verse 37 and final verse, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. If you can bow your heads, Father God, we just thank you for allowing us just to wake up this morning, Father God. You said, everything that has breath, let them praise the Lord. So this morning we say, hallelujah, God. This morning we say, hallelujah, God, because we're grateful for this moment of breath. We could have been dead. People say that as a cliche, but it's true. We literally could be dead. But this morning we wave our hands in gratitude and thanking you. God, we say, thank you this morning. Thank you for speaking to us, Father God. Thank you for showing us we have to stay grateful and thankful to be able to live this life of meaning for you. Speak to us this morning, no matter our age, God. Give us this word that we need just to spark us until we meet again, Father God. In your son Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated, you may be seated. So in America, we live this American dream, right? And this American dream is based off of getting a house, having a family, a great job, making a lot of money. Raise your hand if you've thought about those things. to achieve the goals and the things that you plan, you must do what? You got to work hard. You got to focus on these goals, right? And focusing on these goals that you've set for your life. But also in America, we have religious freedom to go to church every Sunday if we want to. We can even stay home and watch it on our phones if we want to. Because in other countries, they can't do that, right? This, to all of us, it may be a blessing and a curse. From the religious freedom that we have to go to and fro to church, in a society built off capitalism that's built off working hard, right? Because the harder you work, the more you can achieve the goals that you have set for your life. Just say amen if you know what I'm talking about here in America. That's the culture that we have, right? We can easily find ourselves running on the hamster wheel of life. Because we set all these goals. We have all these responsibilities. We got to go to church because that's what we used to. Because we can and we want to. And we can find ourselves on the hamster wheel of life. So this morning, I just want to talk. Just stay with me. Because I just want to talk this morning about from motion to meaning. Can y'all say that with me this morning, House of Judah? From motion to meaning. Hallelujah. 2 points and I get out your way. The first point is breaking through motion. Breaking through that. So in our key text, we find Jesus, he's telling a parable to a lawyer. I promise, stay with me and I'll get out your way. But in this text, we see that there was a man in this parable. He was leaving Jerusalem and he was headed to Jericho. And on this travel, he was left for death. But there was a priest that came by this man. And what did the priest do? The priest looked at him. And he kept walking, right? If I'm in a book, say, boy, you in a book. And not only just the priest, next we see that there was a Levite passing by. And what did the Levite do? He saw this man, he looked at him, and he kept passing by. But in verse 33, we see that there was a Samaritan who was also on a journey. He came where he was. He saw the man too, just like the other ones. But what did he do? He had compassion on this man. It said he took pity on him. Verse 34, the Samaritan does something else. He puts oil and wine on his wounds and he puts them on his own donkey. He takes them to the inn. He gives money to the inn to continue to take care of this man. Raise your hand and be like, man, I read this before. I remember reading this. And we see, and I know you're probably saying the same thing that I've said. You're probably thinking the same thing that I've thought. And that is, you're probably disgusted. Thinking, how could the priest and the Levite overlook this man? Raise your hand. Okay, let's be real. Raise your hand if you ever thought that before. You probably thought, man, I would never do that. If that was me, man, come on. Raise your hand if you ever thought that before. Me as a kid, I heard this. I would never do that. I'm the good Samaritan, right? But House of Judah, I'm here to let you know today that is easy to do. what the priests and the Levite did. See, the priest, he was a descendant of Aaron, right? He performed various duties like rituals in the temple, such as offerings, sacrifices, blessing the people, and maintaining the temple's ceremony. And this Levite, he was similar. He was the priestly assistant. He prepared sacrifices, making music for service in the temple, guarding the temple. The Levites were the descendants of Levi. Stay with me. I promise I'm going somewhere. I can imagine that both the priest and the Levite were both needed in the temple, and they were both headed to serve God that day. Can't you see that, Levite? His boss is right in front of him, the priest, right? So he sees his boss, and his boss didn't go down to help this person. So the Levite like, man, I'm running late. I'm behind my boss today. So I'm not going to help him either. Amen? And the Levite and the priest, they continue on. Church, it's so easy to get caught up in the motion of life. What do I mean by the motions of life? Misters, I mean the daily hustle and bustle, duties and responsibilities in life. Think about it. When you first got saved, raise your hand if you know, boy, you had a lot of passion, a lot of enthusiasm. All you wanted was something with substance and with meaning. Amen. Is there anybody here that can tell me they've been there before? Maybe we're so busy with our schedules and so busy with our life that we now find ourselves just going through the motions of life. You're still going to church, but you're just going through the motions of life. You're still going to work and living for God, but you're just going through the motions of life. We have become so focused. And notice I said we, because baby, everyone in this room has fallen short of the glory of God. We have become so focused on the motions of life that we become desensitized to the meaning of life. If I'm preaching this morning, just say amen. Amen. So what things can desensitize us to the meaning of life? Worrying about making money. Worrying about getting a promotion. Worrying about landing that career that you want to land. The fear of losing your job. Not prioritizing these new relationships that have come into your life is desensitizing us from living a life of meaning to just going through the motions. Things that you would stand up for before, you can't anymore because you're afraid that it'll put you in a situation where you will lose the relationships of your boss, the relationships of your friend. So what you used to stand for God, of a life of meaning, now I can't mess up that paycheck. Now you have a life of motion. You've officially signed up for the rat race of life. Are we too busy in the motions that we're making ourselves unapproachable to the meaning? I'm gonna say that one more time. Are we too busy in the motions of life that we're making ourselves unapproachable to the meaning of life? See, the priests and the Levites, being men who work for God's temple, they should have made this day
into a day of meaning. Instead, they were focused on preparing the word of God. They're focused on preaching the word of God. They're focused on getting to church service. They're focused on, let me go to choir practice. They were focused on, let me just go to work. They were focused on the motions of God, the motions of their daily routines, instead of accepting this moment of meaning. Clap it up if you're enjoying this so far. Church, listen, I'm just reminding you of something you heard before that your grandma probably told you. And that's just, it's great to go to church service weekly. It's great to be in church every Sunday. It's great to get that great career and make more money. It's great to progress and have success in life, but you must do all of that through keeping a heart of meaning. In Luke, the same chapter, verse 10, a little earlier up before verse 30, just write it down. You can read it later if you can pull it up if you don't mind. Starting at verse 25, verses 25 through 29. We see here that before Jesus started telling this parable, what sets it up is there's a lawyer that's always trying to tempt Jesus, right? So this particular time on this episode, we see that there's a lawyer trying to tempt Jesus. And he's questioning Jesus, and he asks him in verse 25, he asks, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes on, in the next verse, he says, well, you tell me, what does the law say? And in the next verse, the lawyer says, verse 27, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and thou neighbor as yourself. Stay with me. I promise I'm going somewhere. Jesus tells this lawyer, you know what? That's actually correct, man. And then the lawyer just couldn't stop there, right? In verse 29, the lawyer asks, well, Jesus, who is thy neighbor? And we find in verse 30, our key scripture today, Jesus continues in this parable. And Jesus goes on to tell this parable of the two Jewish men who were religious leaders, the pastors and the preachers of that day, who focus more on churching than meaning. And Jesus shows that a good Samaritan, the foreigner, was wise enough to live a life of meaning. See, church, this lawyer was able to discern that the half-Jewish Samaritan. Did you know the Samaritans were mixed with Jew and Assyrian? They were looked down upon by the Jews. But Jesus in this parable, he shows that the good Samaritan had a merciful heart. When the full-blooded Jewish leaders, priest and Levi, did not. Church, God has called us to love our neighbor. He's called us to love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. But the last thing he said in that verse, he said to love our neighbor as ourselves. See, in this rat race of life, we find ourselves, I'm good with God because I sing and I praise and I worship him. I go to church. But one thing we forget is opportunities of meaning towards our neighbor. You love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. But do you love your neighbor as yourself? The only way we can love our neighbor is through compassion. Can you just say compassion? Compassion. See, compassion is meaning. Notice in verse 33, but a certain man was on a journey, the Samaritan man, and in the King James Version, it says, but he had compassion on him. And in this version, it says, he took pity on him. Raise your hand if that ever stuck out to you. The Levite and the priest lacked compassion. But the Samaritan saw the same man. But because of compassion, he was able to live a life of meaning. See, you need compassion to break through the motions and the routines of life. You don't need education. You don't need status. You don't need fame. You don't need money. You need compassion to be able to break through your schedule. Only compassion can make you change the plan that you had months ago. You love God, you're worshiping God, but you're lacking compassion. House of Judah, I just want to know, do I have five people in here that can say, God, I know I'm progressing in life. I know I pray for things and you bless me, but Lord, please let your compassion stay in my heart. Do I have five people that can wave your hand and say, God, I don't care where I am. Please let your compassion stay in my heart, because I never want to get in a position where I'm so caught in the rat race of life that I miss an opportunity to help my neighbor and to love my neighbor. I know I got to preach at 10:30, but it's an opportunity here at 10:15 to stop on the side of the road and to help my neighbor. God, use me. Do I have five people here that can be used by God no matter what's going on? I remember in the scripture it says Jesus was overcome with compassion, so he healed. He had a schedule, but compassion. Good gracious. You ever seen somebody that's stuck up? They're lacking compassion. So Jesus healed. Church, compassion will change the routine. That's okay. Because when the Holy Spirit is at work, the schedule, the program goes to the side. My second point, before I'm going to get out your way. My second point is just living in meaning. Can we just say that? Living in meaning. Couple more minutes and I'll be out your way, guys. Church, you can only go from the motions, this rat race, to still doing the same routines and living in meaning. You can only do this when you remember what Christ has done for you. I'm going to break this down and I'll be out your way. You can only have meaning when you remember what Christ has done for you. To live a life of meaning, first, remember what Christ did for you. You that's so perfect now. You that has a lot of money now. You that's driving that moment when you were crying at your feet saying, God, I need you. When you realize that this thing was spiritual and that you may have had material things then or you may not, but you realize I can't live this life unless I give my heart to you. When you realize maybe you were sick and God touched your body and he healed you. Baby, all I'm saying is just gotta start with remembering what God did for you. And after you remember what God did for you, step two, it will make you thankful. I know y'all been waiting this whole time. What does God to do with thankful and gratitude? Here it is. When you remember what God has done for you, the mercy, then thankfulness and gratitude will be exemplified. Hallelujah. And as you stay at his feet because you're humble and you're merciful, because you know what God did for you, gratefulness and thankfulness comes out. And from gratefulness and thankfulness, compassion is produced. And from you remembering what God did for you, you're thankful and you're grateful. Now you have compassion. Now you won't overlook people because you know what God has done for you. Now that young girl that had an abortion, you remember when you had one because you forgot and you've been looking down on her, but nobody knows that you had one. But when you remember how God held you, now you can go hold her, this girl that made a mistake. Because you were grateful for God when he held you when you made a mistake. And through you being at the altar of Christ crying, being so thankful, you have compassion. On verse 33, you have pity on them. Because God had pity and showed mercy on you. And through that compassion, now, you're still doing the same routines, but now you can live a life of meaning. Thinking about your testimony of how God changed you will keep you humble. It'll keep you thankful. It'll keep you grateful. It'll keep you at the feet of Jesus Christ. See, I remember, see, they met Jesus while on his way to Jerusalem. They stood afar and they shouted, Jesus, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus told them, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And in verse 15, something so special happened. Only what? Only one of them came back to Jesus. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. And he told him, and he said, I'm so grateful. And Jesus said in verse 17, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one else returned to praise God except this foreigner? Notice, this foreigner was a Samaritan. We see Jesus again using a Samaritan. Those that were not descendants of Abraham. Because they were a mixed breed. We see this is not even a parable. This is an actual account where this one Samaritan finds himself praying to God, thanking him. Why? Because God healed him. How could he go to Jesus' feet? Because he couldn't forget what Jesus had done for him. 10 were healed. And 10 got what they prayed for. But only one man was grateful and thankful. And through the gratefulness and the thankfulness, he was overcome with compassion. And he was compassionate in this moment of life of the routines of going to see the priest. Meaning came on him. He was so compassionate so because he was grateful, because he was thankful that he went to Jesus' feet. He changed the routine that Jesus even gave him. Why? Because he was so thankful and so compassionate. The other 9 said, we're going to go in the routine that he told us. But baby, when you think about what God has done for you, it starts to shake up some things in your life. You find yourself kind of like David, dancing when his wife was embarrassed. But baby, when you know what God has done for you, something just gets over you. You come with compassion because you're so thankful, because you're so grateful. You might be in a grocery store, but you can just lift your hands and say, hallelujah, God, I'm thankful that I can buy groceries now. Hallelujah, God, it was a time where I needed EBT, but now I can stand and pay with cash. Yes, yes. This one came back and broke the moment of routine, and he had a moment of meaning. Why? Because he was thankful because of what Jesus did for him. Why? Because he was grateful, because he was compassionate. Church, we find ourselves like the nine, praying for promotions, praying for houses, praying for careers, praying for status and more. But we get so busy trying to keep the things in the progress that we find ourselves in the motions of life. The nine got their prayers answered too, but they kept going in the motion of life. We find ourselves focusing on the daily routines that we ask God, that we forget that God has use for us. And that use that he has for us is a life of meaning, a simple life, a life being thankful for what God has done for us. And through that thanksgiving, you will stay at the feet of Jesus. Through that thanksgiving, you will stay humble, crying, saying, Lord, use me, because I know I'm forever indebted for what you did for me. See, going back to the priest and the Levite, I promise I'm getting out your way. The priest and the Levite weren't indebted to the Lord. They didn't know about mercy. They were direct descendants. Because of their birth, they knew their position. But it's something about somebody that was not supposed to be in that position, that knows about the favor and the grace of God. See, I'm one person that's assistant principal. And I know, baby, every time I walk in that school, I wasn't supposed to be in there other than for God. But I know by the grace of God, every day I walk in Nevitt Forest Elementary School, I'm grateful even in the midst of trouble. I'm grateful even in the midst of pain. I'm grateful even when they talk about me, because I know that it's only because of God that I have what I have. And God was merciful on me so I can have pity. Through thankfulness to God, I'm compassionate to my neighbor. See, the priest and the Levite, they weren't thankful and grateful because they didn't have compassion. When you go through the motions of life without meaning, you'll miss your neighbor because you're busy. You'll miss the people that's in this world that's hurt because you're so ready to go to church. You'll just pass by. We're singing praises to God and we're praying, but we're just passing by, just passing the mark. There are people hurt in the house of Judah and Seneca. Just like you used to be hurting. But through gratefulness and through knowing that God has got pity on you, when you remember while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. You become grateful and you start to show compassion to your brother because of what God has done for you. Because you remember, by the love of God, I can now love others because God once loved me. Even when I messed up, he covered my love. He covered my sin in grace. Even when I cussed, he said, boy, that's a mistake, but I'm going to give you another day to get it right. Do I have 10 people that can stand in here and just say, God, use me, because I know I'm indebted to you. God, use me to get the people that's hurting. Use me to get the people that's wounded. Use me to get the people that don't know right from wrong, only because I'm thankful to you that I now know right from wrong. House of Judah, gratefulness and thankfulness for 10 seconds. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I don't know what you've been through, but you know what you've been through. Baby, don't tell me, because I don't care, because I don't want to know. I just want you to remember. And as you remember, it'll keep you humble. And as you remember, it'll keep you in compassion. And as you remember, you'll stay at the feet of Christ. When you forget the ugly, you start to just go through the motion. You start to focus on me and what I have to do. But it's not based on you. It's based on him. So house of Judah, be grateful for the good. Be grateful for your family. Be grateful for that bank account. Be grateful for your career, your church family, your ministry. But don't let the daily routines of life, don't let these blessings stop you from living a life full of meaning. Yes, I have to work, but God used me at work. Why? Because I'm grateful for what you did for me. I can't be like the 9 who got healed and I forgot Jesus. This was in a time, no cell phones. They would never ever see this man again. And they chose to keep going for lack of compassion. Romans 8:14, everyone stand to your feet. It says, in Romans 8:14, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Why is that important? Because on this rat race of life, the routines, you focus more on the material things and keeping that than the gratefulness and gratitude that you owe to God. How do I know? Because for all those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We may have these busy schedules and these daily responsibilities, but we focus more on them than Holy Spirit, have your way. How do I know? Because we say no to a lot of things that the Holy Spirit is saying inside of you. Because of these routines. This morning, I'm saying a special prayer for anybody that needs prayer. Because as God was giving me this word last night, this morning, he was speaking to me to have a life of meaning. Maybe that's you. You're saved. You praise God. But this morning I'm praying a special prayer that we step out on faith and let the Holy Spirit mess up our routine. Maybe that's you. You see, you're more like the priest and the Levite than you thought. We've been so consumed with what we have that we lost thankfulness and gratefulness. How do you know? Because you're missing compassion for your brother. You're thankful to God, but the next step is to be so thankful to God that you allow God to mess up what you have going on. This morning, if you need prayer and encouragement for God to help you mess up the routine, the monotony, the altar is open for you.